For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Thank you for both of you that responded. I know it's been a minute since I've been up here, but don't lose me just yet, all right? It's been about 3 months, and that's way too long. So we will just have to fix that, all right? So I'll be back, you know, next month too, so that's all good. But it doesn't matter about the big ball, man. It matters about Jesus in the house, okay? So that's what's important. But I got to say hello to you guys. How you doing? You did come out, Squirrel. You did come out through the rain, okay? That's awesome. I know, like, in Bakersfield, that's like a weird concept, all right? In L.A., they were freaking out, man. They're like, what is this stuff from the heavens? It's a sign from God. They were like, their cars crashing everywhere, and that's hyperbole. But yeah, and so hi to our internet audience, very cool. I gotta tell you, a special hi to my friend Ricky Moreno. This dude is crazy. Every Wednesday for about 2 years, this guy texts me and says, praying for you every Wednesday. Holy cow, let me tell you what, that means a lot. To know, I know a lot of you guys pray for our pastor staff. Please do that. We pray for you. Some of you, we pray a lot for you. I mean, we pray a lot, okay? And I mean, I seen you on Facebook. Some of you guys don't even ask me to pray. And I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, I saw that on Facebook. So I'm just saying. So thanks, Ricky. He's watching from New Mexico tonight. We have internet people from all over. My parents made out tonight. They braved the weather. And I have a special group of friends. I don't know where they are. I brought 9 pastors with me from 3 different states. And I do not know where they are. They're not in here. They already left. Oh, yeah. They duck. Yeah, pastors, man, they usually duck right out about offering. When are they going to take the offering? Tell them to get out. All right. So this is something that Pastor Ron and I do. We do these replenish trips, and we bring out all these guys that are hooked on all kinds of sin and all kinds. No, I'm totally, they are into this sin. No. Great group of pastors. If I mention some of the churches, you'd be like, oh, my goodness, they're doing amazing things for God. And so thanks, you guys, for coming. And thanks, you guys, for investing into our pastors. Yeah. So, you know, Valley Bible is an amazing church, but we're even more amazing when we reach out and do stuff for the kingdom. When we reach out and we partner with other pastors all over the nation, and, like, we just get to stack hands mutually with each other, and I get to hang out with some cool people, and we're going to go see Pastor Ron tomorrow, and he gets his big, giant, like, spiritual hat on, man. And he just, like, he gets prophetic, and he gets exciting, and he shares stories, and holy cow, it's awesome. So anyway, I know you guys didn't come to hear all that stuff, but that was a bonus, okay? So, like, you know, you got your bonus. It's like the Happy Meal. You get the toy out first, so there you go. Now we're going to get into the meat, okay? So if you're ready for the meat, here we go. We are going to turn to Ephesians. Last time we left off in Ephesians halfway through chapter 2. And so now, if you would turn, we're going to start at verse 11. I'm going to read in the New Living Translation because it makes a little bit more sense. This is a kind of a difficult passage in the Greek, so translators do it different ways. So we're going to do New Living Translation, and then we're going to switch over and go NIV. So I may go back and forth, but we'll put the right verses on the screen. Cool? All right. Oneness and peace in Christ, chapter 2, verse 11. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathen by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it only affected their bodies and not their hearts. Circumcision is cutting away the flesh. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without, somebody say, without hope. Press the pause button. I have a word for somebody here tonight. We're gonna see this as a thread running through tonight's message. You need hope. Somebody out there, you're not like totally without hope. You're not hopeless, but you need a double portion of hope. You need to go back for seconds and thirds of hope. And God is telling you, He is a God of hope. He wants you to put your trust in Him. He wants you to hope that He has things under control. Hope is almost like trust. And He's saying, hope in me, trust in me. That's a word for somebody here tonight. I'm telling you, I have like lyrics teed up. I have everything. I had this song in my head. I'm like, God, is that you? Whatever. And I walked out here earlier tonight, and somebody out in the courtyard was blasting this song. I'm like, oh, it's a thing from God. So I know if that is you and you need hope and things are dark and things are looking like there is no hope, I'm going to tell you what. God has more hope than you know. God wants you to trust. God's going to bring you through this. I promise you. Hope upon hope. Unpause the button, okay? Verse 13, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. He is closer to us when we're going through a rough time. You hear what I'm saying? Because we need him closer. So just know that, man. He is close to a broken heart. God loves broken hearts. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. There's another word we're going to explore tonight, Lord willing. Peace to us. Shalom. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with his commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. That's kind of cool. One new group from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. Let me tell you what, I'm not going to preach a universal message that all roads lead to Jesus, but I'll say this. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He's not a way, a truth, and a life. He is the way, truth, and life, okay? But there's a lot of Christian brothers that we just get a little bit too tore up, and we get a little bit too excited about our way, and we know better than somebody else, and because we have this distinctive in our church, or because we like to emphasize these scriptures, that somebody's not as spiritual as us. You hear what I'm saying? That, and there's some arrogance that comes in that, and I want us to know that Christ came to bring us into one people group, those under the flag of Jesus, those with Jesus as their Savior. Okay, again, not a universalism, but those who know that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, we all need to work it out, man. We all need to get along. And I don't care, man, how you baptize. I don't care how you talk, how you pray, what songs you sing, or how you dress when you go to church, or how long your services is. If Jesus is your Lord, we should be able to make that our common denominator and not get all worked up about all the other things, okay? Because at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, your love needs to be the strongest message. Not that you talk about, not that you sing about. It needs to be the strongest message that you live out. Your love for one another. The way that you love somebody that is a Christian that maybe you don't see eye to eye to. The way that you love your brother here in church that maybe owes you $5, all right? Or maybe you owe them a ride home and you're like, I don't got time tonight, all right? You need to let love be the song that comes from the way that you live your life, man. And when you do that, people will know by your love for each other that Jesus reigns in your heart, that you are a Christian, that you are born again, and that they go, I kind of want that. All right? It's not about you. It's about him. Because you know why? Here's it. God is love. Let me read these last couple of verses. Nah, let's not. Let's just get right into this. How about that? Because you know what? I'm just kidding myself by thinking I'm going to get through all this anyway. So let's just pick this up. So I'm going to make a couple of comments and go through a couple verse by verse thing. And I'm telling you, we're going to talk about hope. We're going to talk about peace. And it's going to be good. So now I'm switching back to the NASB in verses 11 and 12. It does talk about circumcision. And I want to talk about the concept of circumcision because it's in our passage and we got to do it. I'm not going to get graphic. We all know what it is. And I will just say that for definition, it means a cutting away of the flesh. It was part of the Abrahamic covenant that God gave to Abraham to be a distinction. The Jews said, this is our distinction. This is who we are. We're probably more special than anybody else because we have this part of the covenant with us. It's called circumcision. They weren't necessarily special because of that one little part. They were special because they were given the covenant, okay? They were covenanted with God. Circumcision just means a cutting away of the flesh. But what we need to know here is that the cutting away of the flesh doesn't just remain to the Jewish part of the covenant, but it should be a cutting away of the flesh of our hard hearts, all right? Should be about our hard hearts. So sometimes We do the right things for the wrong reasons. And Paul talks about here us being near and far away. In this particular passage, he is talking about how the Jewish folk at this time are a little bit further away from God than those who received Jesus, the first Christians at that time, because we were brought in to be made one group, right? Put everything else aside, we who honor Christ. And so we are either near or far. The Jewish folk thought that they were nearer to God because they were circumcised in their flesh. But God says, through Paul, you need to know that you are circumcised in your heart. Let me give you a couple scriptures here. The Jews prided themselves in their physical appearance. God says, in Christ, your heart needs to be circumcised. Romans 2. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So it actually has the opposite effect. So if the circumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And he who is physically circumcised, if he keeps the law, he will not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcised as a transgressor of the law. So he's saying, it's better that you circumcise your heart. It's better that your heart gets cut away from the flesh, right? It's better that your heart is in the right place. And that is the new covenant of love and of your true heart devoted to Jesus. Deuteronomy 30 says this, moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, so that you may live. Without God in the world, some people believe in God, but they believe he lives in heaven and has nothing to do with this world. So it's not about what you say or how you act, but it's about what goes on inside. We can act like we're saved. We can act like we have kept all the laws and we're circumcised and we tithe and we raise our hands, you know, like higher than the person next to us when we worship, right? And does that make you better? No, man. You know what? It makes us all the same when we have Christ in here, and that's our passion and that's what we live for, and love is our banner and Christ is in. You see what I'm saying? Once we have been cut, it's not about the external, the physical, how you look, how you smell. It's about internal, because what happens on the inside has to work its way out. It has to work its way out. And that's why I'm saying, man, we should be able to, like, you guys all know the great quote from St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. You see, it's about how we live and about how we act. When we act like our own righteousness and our own acts make us better or make us different, we really kind of put God in a box. And when we do that, we are separated more than we know from Christ. We are separated from Christ. Earlier in that passage, it talks about us being aliens and strangers. And Peter says the same thing. He says, we are aliens and strangers in this world. We're just passing through, right? Because this is not our home. Is anybody with me? This is not all that there is, all right? We get 80, 90 years here, man, it's good. But you know what? If that's all that we focus on, we are missing out, man. We have, how long with Jesus? Eternity. We have eternity. And it doesn't matter, man, if you're broke here. It doesn't matter if your car is broke. It doesn't matter if your pocketbook is broke. It doesn't matter if you have the nicest car around. It doesn't matter. Like, most of us are somewhere in between, because that is only temporary. Eternity, think about it, is forever and ever and ever and ever. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, right, than to spend eternity away. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to talk about hope? Man, sometimes life is hard down here, man. But our hope is in him who is beyond this life. Our hope is in him who will take us to live with him forever. When we are aliens and strangers away from Christ, we are separated from Christ. But when we are separated with Christ, there's a couple things. There are a couple ramifications. Number one, we are without spiritual blessings. Earlier in Ephesians, we talked about all the spiritual blessings. In chapter 1, I'll just read, and I think we could put the scripture on the board, and I'm just not going to read the scripture, but I'm going to point out the many blessings, the spiritual blessings that we have. So if we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, talk about many, many spiritual blessings that we have, all right? When we are separated from Christ, we don't have these, but we who are the beloved, we who follow the ways of Christ, we believers, right? We have these spiritual blessings. And here's a couple of them, starting with verse 3. He chose us from the foundation of the world. I don't know if you guys remember this. Back in October and September, we talked about how he loved you so much that he sent his son to die because he would not want to be in eternity without you. Without you, man. He didn't want to spend eternity without you, so he made a way that you could be with him forever. That should humble us, man. I honestly, I could preach it, but I got to be honest. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. That the God of the universe died so that I could spend eternity with him. Do you guys remember your first date with your spouse? Right? You'd be like, oh, she's going to go out with me? Times that by a million bajillion. God, the guy that made everything, wants to spend eternity with me? I'm telling you, I have a hard time wrapping my silly little brain around eternal concepts like that. He chose us from before the foundation of the world. He makes us holy and blameless. He predestined us. He adopted us. So I just need to stop right there. You are adopted by God Almighty. Your daddy is pretty cool. All right? We are not orphans. We are not neglected. We have the Heavenly Father as our dad. I got a pretty good pop sitting right over there, but you know what? I got a better one that's way up there. Thanks, Dad, but you know what I'm saying, right? You trained me right. You guys, we can't go, oh, I didn't have a dad, or my parents split up, or I did. We have a Heavenly Father who adopted us. We are in the Beloved. We are redeemed by blood. We are forgiven of sin. Might I remind you, sin equals death, but God says, no, I got this one. We are forgiven of sin. We have the richness of his grace. He provides us wisdom. He provides us insight. He lets us know his will. This is all from Ephesians chapter 1, man. Some of you guys need to go, oh, I need to go back and get that. Yes, you do. Go back, chapter 1, 3 through 14. We have unity with him. We have an inheritance. Did we talk about adoption? Because I just want to remind you that you have been adopted by God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, right? And if he's your daddy, guess what? Not only is he going to take care of you, but you get an inheritance. You don't have to have a rich grandmother you never heard of. You don't have to sit around by the phone waiting for an attorney to go, did you know you had an aunt four times removed from your father's mother on your brother's side? You don't have to do that because, you know what, that, first of all, that doesn't happen. But secondly, you have an inheritance that God the Father has given you. Man. We have hope in Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit. Some of you guys need to tap into the Holy Spirit a little bit more than you are. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, sister, right? He lives right in there. When the Holy Spirit lives in us, man, we walk with God. We talk with God. We have these crazy stories like Pastor Ron always tells us about, right? And you guys have them too. I see you out all around and you're like, I got some stories. Some of you guys email me stories. I'm like, oh my gosh. Of course we should have stories. God lives inside of us. So if you're without God, you are without all those spiritual blessings. If you have not had a chance to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior tonight, you are missing out on all those things we just talked about. But here's the good news. He may be calling you tonight. And if he calls you, just like somebody very important would call you, you need to answer that phone and go, all right, God, I'll be down at the altar. Okay, see you then. And we have trained prayer counselors that will be down here. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you to receive Christ and start that crazy Christ adventure in your life. We'd love to pray with you for sickness. We'd love to pray with you for wisdom. We'll pray with you about anything you want to pray. But I'm talking to you right now. God may be calling somebody tonight to receive him for the first time. And if that's you, man, I want you to highly, highly think, what have I got to lose, man? Because tonight could be your night. If he's calling you, pick up the phone. If we are separated from God, we are also without light. Luke 11 says this, the eye of the lamp of your body. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body is also full of light. But when it is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Then watch out that the light is not in darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illuminated as when a lamp illumines you with its rays. We need to shine our light before men, right? When we drive, when we work, when we walk our dogs around the neighborhood. You hear what I'm saying? Everything we do, man, our world around us should be full of light because of the light of Christ that radiates in us. John 1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning of God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that was into being. He was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." If you're having trouble seeing in the dark, I want to tell you, maybe you need to brighten your light. If there are people around you that are stumbling around and bumping into things, maybe your light needs to be a little bit brighter. Maybe you need to spend a little bit more time with the Father who illuminates you. Maybe you need to spend a little bit more time in prayer and in studying the scriptures to go, you know what? People around me are depending on me being light. Without Christ, we are also without rest. Hebrews 4, 2 and 3. "For the good news that God has prepared us, this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God." If you're always tired, I'm talking to you right now. If you're always running around in your own strength, let me tell you what, he has rest for you. "But it didn't look good because they did not share the faith of those who listened to God." Verse 3, "For only we who believe can enter his rest." Did you hear that? Only we who believe can enter his rest. Do not try to do things on your own. Christianity is not a solo sport, all right? It's a team sport. We all need each other, and we all need coach telling us what to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you let me use that analogy. "For only we can believe and enter his rest as the others," God said, "in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my rest, even though this rest has been ready since the world was made." He wants you to enter in his rest. That's one of the things that we do with our pastor friends, man, is we say, you know, pastors run long and hard, and man, they do so much for so many. We're running around. Sometimes pastors get so tired and so weary that they don't even know when they're depleted. They don't even know when their bucket is empty. See, in theory, every pastor would tell you, we're supposed to minister out of the overflow. Parents, I would tell you that. Dads, you're supposed to love your children out of the overflow. What's the overflow? It's when you are so full of Jesus that you're splashing all about, right? You're splashing all around, and here's some for that child, and here's some for your other kids, and here's some for your wife and for your neighbors. You hear what I'm saying? But when you give so much, man, and your tank goes down and down and down, whether you're a pastor or a father or an employer or whatever, you need to fill up. Back to pastors, 1,500 pastors a month walk away from the ministry because ministry is hard, man. Some of them don't know if they're called. Some of them would do another occupation if they could. Man, please pray for your pastors. Pray for us as we try to encourage and replenish as many other pastors as we can, because we know this, the world is a better place with pastors operating out of their health and ineffectiveness. Deuteronomy 12 says, "Because you have not yet arrived at the place of rest, the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession." Rest is a special possession. Sweet, sweet, sweet sleep is a blessing from God. "But when you will soon cross the Jordan and live in the land the Lord your God has given you, when he gives you rest from all your enemies and you're living safely in the land." If you guys have been following our devotional tract, we just started into the book of Judges, but we went all the way through the book of Joshua, right? And it was about possessing the land. And the subtitle of possessing the land was, "Don't you forget about God. Don't you forget about God." See, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. He wants to spoil you. You're his child, okay? You are a child of God. You're a princess. You're a prince. You are special. He wants that, okay? We've established that. He wants to bless you so much, but he knows some of you can't handle all the blessings he wants to lay on you. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. God will only bless you if you can handle it. And if you can't handle all the blessings, he's not going to bless you beyond what you can handle, right? Because then you're going to be so blessed and you're going to think it's all about you. Absolutely. You hear what I'm saying? I love my 9-year-old, right? I have a 9-year-old son, man. I love that dude. And he may someday before his 16th birthday come up and go, "Hey, Dad, do you love me? Buddy, you know I love you. I'd do anything for you, man. I coach your sports. You know, we go out. We do guy things, man. You know, we hang." "Well, Dad, if you love me so much, could I get the keys to the car and take it for a spin?" Buddy, I love you a lot, but you know what? If I give you the keys to the car when you're only 9 years old, there's a very high likelihood that you will crash that car and hurt yourself and somebody else. And so, because I don't give him the car doesn't mean I don't love him, right? It means that, you know, you got to grow into that. And until you're ready to be blessed with a key, until you're ready to be blessed with a job that pays insurance so you can, you know what I'm saying, and a job that puts gas in the tank, I'm not going to bless you with the keys to my car. You hear what I'm saying? So the same thing. So some of you guys go, man, I just want blessings from God. You know, I ask him, I beg him. Well, you know what? Maybe you better do a little soul searching. And maybe you better find the holes in your life. Well, you know, I do use a couple of colorful words more than I should. Patch it up. Well, you know, I fudge a little bit on my taxes, and maybe I plug that one up. And you know, my talk sometimes, I talk a lot, and sometimes my talk is less than precise. Liar. Patch that up. Give God a reason to bless you. And you know what? It's not all about stuff that he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you with character. He wants to bless you with rest. He wants to bless you in every way that you need. He wants to bless you with kids of character. He wants to bless you with amazing grandkids, all right? He wants to bless you with the good stuff. When we are without God, we are also without hope. Look at Psalm 3. Psalm 3, verses 2 and 6. Many are saying of my soul, there is no difference in him, in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 people who have set themselves round about me. God wants to give you hope. He wants to give you victory against your enemy. He wants to make you more powerful than you ever thought. A quick definition from the dictionary of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. In the Greek, it means this. It means an expectation, a trust, or something that is fixed upon. To hope in something is really, really close to trusting in something, except for we want to believe this thing. The word hope in the New Testament can also be an expectation of fear or evil, or it could be an expectation of good or hope. In a Christian sense, we hope for joy, we hope for confidence, and we hope that we have an eternal salvation. This is our hope in Christ. We have to have this hope. And we know that even though sometimes we go through situations that are not ideal and not what we want, that we have to hope that there is a God that sustains us. And that hope that we're wanting, that we're going, why can't we have it, God, is him reaching down and going, let me help you patch that hole in your life. Let me help you patch that hole in your life. And that's the only way that I can do that is by reaching in and sewing a patch on there. And yeah, sometimes, man, when I'm sewing in on you, man, it hurts. But you've got to hope that I know what I'm doing. And you know what? He does know what he's doing. Psalm 42, man, I have had these times. You guys ever try and talk yourself into hope? You will trust God. You will hope. Am I the only one that has? I have to talk to myself a lot. I lecture myself. I get down on myself. I encourage myself. And that's only about 3 seconds long, man. And I do it over and over. I have to get up early to do this stuff, right? Because otherwise, man, if people watch me pray, they'd be like, that boy needs a psychologist. That boy's got problems. Because, man, sometimes I've got to encourage myself, man, because I just get too down on myself. And I'm like, you're a deadbeat, man. You're in trouble because you got yourself in trouble. And God's like, you're my son, man. I'm going to redeem your trouble. And then other times I'm like, oh, man, God, is that you? I hope it's you. It's not you, but it's got to be you. You hear what I'm saying? And I think that's what happened right here in Psalm 42. As a deer pants for a water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Look at here. These things I remember and pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving and a multitude-keeping festival. Right? I used to do that, man. I was so happy, right? I've been on highs, man. God is awesome. God can never let me down. God will do everything for me, right? Why are you so in despair, oh my soul? I mean, it's just right there, the next verse. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you, right? We have to remind ourselves of the things that God has done. We have to look in the past sometimes and go, he came through here. He was faithful here. I trusted him here. I hoped in him here. And he got me from there to here. And he's going to get me from here to there. You hear what I'm saying? This is the psalmist going, ah, can he? He will. I hope he will. He has in the past. You hear what I'm saying? Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls unto deep. Man, these are heavy things. We always quote that scripture. Deep calls unto deep. What does that mean? I don't know, but it sounds real spiritual. You know what? Some things we just get. I'm not saying you're insincere if you use that. I'm just saying sometimes we really long for words to put into expression what we're really feeling in our soul, right? And if you've used that before or you've said things that you really like, I don't know where that's coming from, those are the deep things of the Spirit inside of you calling out to you. Let's move on. I really feel like when we talked about hope, I needed to read this for somebody. This is one of the songs that I walked out to tonight, and I'm like, oh, it's God. Let me just read the lyrics to you. My hope is built on nothing else. And there's a contemporary version of this too. This is the hymn version. My hope, somebody say hope.
Hope.
I'm gonna give the rest of you to say it. My hope.
Hope.
Better. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I've sang this a million times, but it sounds good when you sing it, when you say it real slow. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace, the one that never changes. He got you by yesterday, he'll get you by today, and he'll do it again tomorrow. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Come on, somebody. Everything else is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant and blood support me in the whelming flood. With every earthly prop gives way, he is then my hope and stay. Come on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I know you guys are gonna pull that up on your music tonight. I know you're gonna go home and you're gonna play that, and I hope it just keeps on blessing you. Let's look to verses 14, 15, and 16 if we have time, because I wanna get into peace. For he himself is our peace. He who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing law by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, establishing again peace, and might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross, having put to death the enmity. The cross has the final word. The cross is the reconciliation that you have been after. You may be trying to make peace in your marriage. You know, like, let's be honest, man. Marriage is the greatest thing ever, but it's not without its difficulties, right? And so if you're at odds with each other and you're trying to get along, man, sometimes you just need the cross in that relationship to bridge the gap. You need to say, man, it's one thing to do a lot of nice things and, you know, read this book and whatever, get some worldly wisdom, but I got a word for somebody here tonight. You need the cross in your relationship. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your in-laws. Maybe it's your outlaws. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's a coworker. You hear what I'm saying? But you need the cross in those relationships, because that's why Jesus came, to break down all those other funky things in there and establish peace through the cross of Christ. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you shalom. One of the words we have for the names of God is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Let me read a little quote here. If the lordship of Jesus Christ is not greater than any difference you have with others, be it political. Hello, I'm tired of politics, man. Why do politics got to be about everything? And everything's about politics and sports and politics and news and politics. And I'm tired of it. I don't want to be politically correct, incorrect, whatever. I just want to be a man of God. I just want to love you guys. I want to have you be my friends. I want to have friends be my friends. I want to hang out. I want to do my things. We get so divided over these things, all right? Well, you like this way? That makes you this type of political person? I'm the other kind of political person. We can't be friends. That's baloney, man. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you voted or not voted, man. If we're bros, we're bros. And the blood of Christ needs to be our common denominator, not our political affiliation or lack thereof. I'm tired of other people that I don't even know in a little iPad or square box telling me what I should believe and telling me that if I like this, then I can't like this, and somebody likes that, then I can't like that. You hear what I'm saying? Listen to this again. If the lordship of Jesus Christ is not greater than any difference you have with others, be it political, racial, economic, language, geography, or whatever, then you have not really fully understood what it means to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's it, man. And if your blood rises every time you hear a new thing on something that you don't like, or you see somebody dressing the way you don't like, you know what? You need to get a little bit more love in your life. I'll tell you what, man. I'm from Texas. Like, I'm from Dallas, right? So it's not, you know, like this crazy, you know, like city that's living under a rock. But I was down at Santa Monica Beach yesterday, and there's some people that do not look like Dallas people down there. They dress differently. They smell differently. They smoke differently. And you know how I can tell that I'm growing in my faith? Because I look at them and I don't go, they look different than I ever would look. I would never do that. And casting judgment on them. I just walk down and go, there you are, man. All right. Love you too, man. Look at you. All right. And you know, this guy drove by on a bike, he had this hard look on his face, and we're like, what's up, man? He goes, and he just kept on driving. Right? I don't know what that was. Is that a gang sign? I don't know what it is, man. I don't want to do it. Only gang sign I know is Walmart. Okay. Am I going to get in trouble for that? Just say it was funny, all right? If you talk to Pastor Ron, just say, he didn't know what he was doing. When we want to abolish the law in our life, there was 600 and some laws that the Mosaic Covenant brought to us that we were supposed to follow. 631, I think. We cannot keep 631 laws, from diet to character to everything else. So you know what? Paul has a great answer in Galatians. He said, I'll tell you what, you can keep all those 600 and whatever laws, or you can just do one thing and walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you won't obey the lusts of the flesh. It's like this, man. I dig my wife, man. She is amazing. She's hot. She's awesome. Man, 20 whatever years, man, 28 years, I love this woman. And here's the deal. I don't have to get up in the morning with a 600 and whatever point checklist. Tell her she's awesome. Tell her you love her. Kiss her on the forehead. Be nice to her. You know what I do? I just get up in the morning and go, I dig that girl. Everything else is easy, right? You guys, if we're worried about sin, well, today, you know, I'm going to do a couple things. And if I do these couple things, I'll still be on this side of the fence. But if I do too many, I might be way on the other side. And I need to stay on this side. Man, that's like me saying, well, if I look at a girl, like, just for a couple seconds, you know, I just do a double glance. Or I can't do a double glance. That's crossing the line. I just do a one long single glance. I'm being real, I can tell. I'm getting you guys, right? We don't have to do these things. All we got to do is just say, I love this girl. I love Jesus. And you just got to get up in the morning and go, oh, Jesus, I love you so much. You know what? I want your ways to be the right ways. I know they are. And I want my ways to be your ways because that's the right way. And that's the way I need to live my life, right? And then it's not hard, man. When somebody cuts you off, you don't have to go, oh, wash your tongue. You know, that's one of those 600 laws. You can't say that word, that word, or that word. You just got to go like this. They cut me off. They must really be in a hurry. God bless them. Wherever their lunch appointment is, they're going fast, Lord. Because, hey, man, we all been there. And sometimes we just rushing around because we want to, not because we're going to go see Granny in the hospital. Walking in the Spirit, loving Jesus like crazy, loving Jesus passionately, wanting to please Him, wanting to do His will, knowing that His commandments are not burdensome. That is how we obey. That is what our life is supposed to be about. My wife doesn't have to get up every day and go, man, you get that checklist out, boy. They're going to be whooping when I get home. She just bats an eye and I go, I dig that girl. Right? God just shows His goodness. We go, I love you, Jesus. You got me out of trouble yesterday. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here we go. Verse 19 through 22. Man, I gotta get this. So that when you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. That's the whole purpose here, right? It's near and far to the temple. Because when we are away from Christ, we have no purpose. We have no hope. We have no light. We have no reason, right? But when He calls us in through the blood of Christ and we take on His yoke and we take on His blood and we take on the way that He wants us to truly live like sons and daughters of the King, then you know what? Then we are no longer strangers and aliens. We are fellow citizens with saints. We're from the household of God. Having, I thought I heard some music some there. Hey, if that would have kept going, man, we were going to have church. You know, you got to ignore it for the first couple of seconds. Then you go, that's pretty purposeful, man. What are you trying to say, man? Wouldn't it be just cool if the heavens just opened and we saw the angels going, come on, VBF. You guys get this teaching, man. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. And then all the angels get their guitars out. Boom, 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 man. You are fellow citizens with the saints. You are God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We have all of their understanding, all of their knowledge that we get to build a foundation on. We even have Christ Jesus Himself being our cornerstone, in whom the whole building is fitted together. That's us. We're the temple, growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are also being built into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Man, we are the temple. This church is not the temple. We are the temple of God. In the Old Testament, man, God revealed Himself, right? And He said, I'm going to stay up in the heavens. I'm going to be God from a distance, right? Then He said, you know what? Hey, man, build an Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to like indwell that place, right? I'm going to be there. Then He says, now build me a temple and I'm going to stay in the Holy of Holies place. And then the temple veil was ripped in half, right? When Jesus broke down all the walls, okay? And then we became one in Him. And then you know what? Then He said, I'm not a God that's out there anymore. I'm not a God that's on the Ark of the Covenant. I'm not a God that's contained into one place in the Holy of Holies. I am the God that lives in your life. And the Holy Spirit of God lives in your life. That's what we're talking about. Are you near or far to becoming the temple of God? And I'm going to close with this. And I'm going to have our prayer counselors come out. Listen here. One of my favorite things to do when we bring all these pastors out and we do our replenish trips is to take them to Valley Bible. Now here's the deal, I'm gonna be honest. Our facilities are good, but I've seen better. I just have. Our curriculum, the stuff we do is solid, man. We are training our kids and it's awesome, right? And you know what? We have great systems in place. We have amazing ushers and teachers and I mean, it's good, right? But you know what my favorite thing is? I get to brag about this so much. It's you. It's the people. It's the temple that God dwells in. The Valley Bible people are amazing. And I bring people in. I say, share your story with these guys, man. Be encouraged. Because it's not about the building. It's not about our facilities and the systems and things we do. Those are all amazing. But it's about you and you, man. It's about you. It's about you sharing your story, man. It's like when I see you on Facebook, man. You used to be a drug addict, man. You used to be a gangbanger, man. And now you're sitting on the front row of church. Whatever. That is what it's all about. You can be near or far, but you're becoming the temple of God. Would you stand to your feet? Please stand wherever you're at, all over. You can be as near or as far away to God as you want. And let me tell you this. If you are not as close to God as you once were, consider who moved. Anybody? Am I stepping on toes yet? You consider who moved, because He is a God that does not change. I told you that I was going to give you a chance to pray. We have some amazing prayer people up here. Man, please come take advantage of this. We'll pray for you about anything, but there's a special, there's two special groups I want to call out. One is those of you that I feel like somebody who just needs a double dose of hope. Please come down. You can come down right this second if you want to. You can come when I pray. You can come after the prayer, but just come. If you need some hope, you need to double down on your hope in your life. We want to pray a prayer of hope with you. And then also, I said there may be somebody that has not yet fully decided to follow Christ in your life. Will you come down and let us pray with you too? Please, you come down right now if you want to. I love it when people are coming down. I ain't even prayed yet, man. The Spirit of God is moving. It's alive. Hey, yeah. Saints, would you bow your head and pray?
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us